quick intermission right there. All right, that worked out nice. So if you're new and you haven't figured out yet, we're talking about money. Okay, we are in a series that talks about stacks on stacks and what matters most. And so this is going to be our fourth week. And so the first week, just to do a quick review, we talked about good news and bad news about having stacks on stacks. The good news is you're rich. The bad news is you're rich. And so when it's good news is you have rich people opportunities, and the bad news is you have rich people problems, okay? And we talked about, and how do we know that we're rich? Because we're Americans. If you live in America and if you've worked any job in America, you are rich, because if you make at least $30,000 a year, you are in the top 3% of earners around the world. If your household makes $80,000 or more, you are in the top 0.1% of top earners in the world. You are rich. And then the second week, we talked about money being the master that is always in competition for our heart. And Scripture says it blatantly, that the number one contender for our hearts, other than God, is money. And so money is a master that we have to continually deny. Because if you deny him once, that's great, and you're in a great spot. But later on in life, you're going to end up in more riches and more opportunities. So you have to deny money again. You have to deny that master over and over. And then last week, we talked about a real easy subject that people love to talk about, and that's tithing. Tithing and giving your first 10%. And if you miss that message, please go listen to it, because we answer a lot of questions, because there's so many debates about percentages, and that's an Old Testament thing, and what does the New Testament say? And a lot of the times when they hear what the New Testament says about it, they're like, okay, I'll just stick to the 10%, okay? I'll go back to what that said, because if you know the story of the rich young ruler, he said to sell everything and give it to the poor if you want to make it to heaven. So let's stick to the 10%. If you want to find those, if you put it up on the screen, all of our sermons, all our messages are at villageheights.church/messages. You can find them all there. So it's a great place to catch up. And if you missed a Sunday, it's always on the first page of our website, the latest sermon that we've preached. And so last week we talked about giving our first and having faith that God will bless the rest, because 90% bless. And those who tithe, who have great faith in God and give their first 10, can claim to this and show it in their life that 90% blessed by God goes way further than 100% not blessed by God, okay? So, and it's only active if you try it. And that's one of the only times you will find in Scripture that God says to test me. He tells us, blanket, straight out, he says, if you don't believe me that I will bless you, test me, try me out. Try me, do it, and I will show. All right, so that's what we talked about. And if you missed any of those, please go online. They're great messages, so you can hear them and begin to change your life as far as riches go. So today, and I gave a hint to it last week, we're going to be talking about working it, all right? And now I'm talking about working as W-O-R-K-I-N-G. You slash that G off, and it's more serious, okay? Because you are working it, okay? We're going to be talking about working it. So let's look at 1 Timothy, the scripture that we're using for this whole series. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. If you have your Bible app, it's in there. If you want to turn to it, if you got the old-fashioned way, the paper Bible, go for it that way. And it says, as for the rich in the present age, which is all of us, charge them not to be haughty. Now, haughty means you're arrogant, you're prideful, you think you're supreme to others because of your riches. Don't be haughty, all right? Nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. He didn't say keep it all to yourself, hoard it up in a bank somewhere, you know, to make sure everybody knows that you're more rich than them. No. Said to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. If you can master this, if you can figure this out and practice and apply this to your life, you will find what is truly life. You're not just existing, you're really living. And if you're just existing and you've never lived, you don't know what living is yet. And I highly recommend you try that. But we're going to focus today specifically on where it says to be rich in good works. So we're going to figure out, what does that mean? What does it mean to be rich in good works? Because when we talk about rich, we talk about finances. We talk about wealth, how much gold I have, how many gold bricks I got buried in the backyard. You know, that's my riches, you know? So we're gonna clear that up today. And so when we are rich, we tend to be one directional. When it comes to our riches and our money, we tend to be one directional. And how that direction looks is when we become rich, it's easier to be self-centered rather than other-centered. And it has a lot to do with the culture that's built around us. All the commercials that we watch is, oh, you got more money? Oh, you can buy this newer thing for yourself. And you can enjoy it, and you can show off, and you can be prestigious. It's this culture is just built around it. And so typically the way we go, it's about self-centered. So when we get more money, it says, maybe I can travel. Maybe I can travel some cool places and do these cool things when I get more money. Sometimes we think, maybe I can change my house. I got some more money now. Maybe I can add another room that I don't need, or I can buy this other space to fill with things that I'm not using. You know, you can add to it. You can take your regular silver and make it into gold plated faucets and whatnot. Maybe I can go on vacation. Maybe I can just finally do that blowout thing. If I just get that extra cash, maybe I can just go blow it all. Now, I'm not saying any things are terrible or bad. Or maybe I can get some new clothes. Now, the clothes that I had were great, but I can never find anything to wear, you know, when I go in the closet. And we talked about how some people go and they just touch all of their clothes and they go, I have nothing to wear. Oh, man, my life is hard. That's sometimes what we think. Maybe I could need some new clothes. So typically, and we're all guilty of this, everybody. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're human. And that's okay. We immediately think, what can we use this money for ourselves? And Paul says it the best way at being good is like this. And so we're going to dive into this and figure out how do we measure up? How do we measure up to what being rich and good works? Work in it. How do we do? And the question is, are you rich in good deed, rich in good works? Or are you an average? Are you average in good works? Like I said last week, we don't want to proclaim to be average. We want to be good at something, right? So when it comes to good works and we're average at it, we just don't talk about it. We don't bring it up because we don't want to shine light in this area that we're not any good at, okay? So if you're average on it, we're going to be talking about that today. And chances are, if you are rich, you are probably average at it. So the sentence that we are continuing on throughout this series, and we've added more and more to it, we're going to add just a little bit portion more. And it says, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more. And the part that we're adding is, and do more. I will do more. Before we move forward, I want to clear something up before we start, okay? We can agree on this principle before we can move forward, because this will change the whole idea, the whole philosophy, everything of what I'm about to read here is that, and this is key, that we are not saved by works, okay? There is not an amount of things that you can do in this world that will make you holy yourself. You are born imperfect, you will always be imperfect, and that's just the way it is. But you are saved by grace, okay? So when we talk about this works, I don't want you to get it mixed up thinking that, oh, Bill told me if I'm just good at doing this, then I'll be all right. No, don't think that. I'm not telling you that, but it is also a very important thing to our lives. But we are saved by grace. So good works actually align us. And so we are aligned with Christ. When we have faith in Christ, the good works is what comes out of that. Because when you have faith, you have a love that doesn't make sense to people, to the normal public. And so you do things, you do works that make this shine. All right, so that's my quick commercial right there. So we're going to move on to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Look again in your Bible, it'll be on the screen. For by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that not one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. So the good works that we do, and it says it plainly, it's not for you to boast. It's not for you to do this great thing and go, nah, 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 I'm going to heaven, you ain't, okay? That's not what it is. And a lot of, and shamefully, a lot of Christians do that. They think just because they've completed a good work, that makes them better than someone else. But that's not what this is meant for. That's not why it is portioned out in Scripture. You're not above anybody. Just because you do works doesn't mean that you're above anybody, because you are saved by grace and everybody has the opportunity, just as you did, in the same level, the same power to be saved by grace like you have. So we are created to do good works. If you notice that, he says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So when something's created, it's prepared in advance. It has intention. It has purpose. To be created means it has something to follow. And God loves you so much, he has already prepared you with the ability and the opportunities to use the gifts and talents that he's given you for good works. When you think about it in that way, it's like this whole spectrum opens up for you. And it's like, wait a minute. I was created to do this. Like, this was decided before me. This was my design all along. What have I been doing? Why have I not been practicing what it is? So you were designed for this blessing, designed to give. So some of us are designed to do things. There's just stuff in us. So if, like, for example, if you just aspire to be a pit crew at a NASCAR, you know, that's just a dream of yours. And when you see someone on the side of the road with a flat tire, you're like, I'm on it. Let's go. You jump over there and you're like, I got you, sweet lady. And then you crank it up and you do your thing and you change the tire. And you just, because you feel compelled, like you were built to do that sort of thing. Some of us, I like to think that I have like larger ears than normal. I've been hit by a lot of baseballs in my ears growing up, just not by paying attention. And so I like to feel my ears are a little larger than normal. I could be crazy. Who knows? It's self-conscious stuff. But maybe God designed me with bigger ears so I can be a better listener. Because I'm real patient, right? I can listen to somebody for a long time and hear their whole story, and it's just, I love it. It's awesome. My Uber passengers love it because I just love to talk, and I want to hear about their lives and where they came from. It just fascinates me. So I got big ears. God created big ears for that so I can catch it all. When I go places, and this might happen to you, like if you're at Home Depot or something and you see somebody struggling and you're like, hey, can I help you? And they just assume that you work there, right? They like, oh, you must work here. Let me ask you all these questions. What aisle is like, oh, I don't know. I don't work here. But because it doesn't make sense to them why somebody would love them that much, that they would jump in and help out. So it happens to me often because they're confused. This happens sometimes, like when somebody is like just randomly on a road, you know, like there's some, you'll see them on Heights Boulevard. They're just hanging out. There's just one time, this one, I thought there was something wrong, because they were kind of doubled over in their seat, and I'm like, oh no, it's real hot outside, let me get out there. And so I get out there, and a whole conversation, my big ears, I'm listening, and I said, so how are you doing, okay? You got a place to go? And her first thing is like, what, are you a cop? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And they're kind of, because in their head, it's like, why do you care so much that I'm here? And I'm like, well, I care about you. You know, I see you in this situation. It's a love that doesn't make sense, okay? It's prepared beforehand. It was there before me. So in doing good works, work in it. There's three things that we're going to talk about today, three principles. If you're taking notes, this is where you begin taking notes. Okay, so number one, the first thing we're going to look at today is my good deeds should point to God and not me. Say that again. My good deeds, my good works should always point to God and not me. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, so they may see your good works and give glory to their Father who is in heaven. So they can see what you're doing and thank God for it. What an honor. What a thing that, so cool to know that. So when you do good works and you hear those things, it's not something goes, oh, you're an amazing person. You're so good at that. Man, you changed that tire like a champ. Your ears are big. Thank you for listening. That's not why you do it. Although those accolades, I'm sure, will build you up in the moment. And that's nice for them to say that, but it's not the purpose. It's not, they didn't say to us, they will say that you are one heck of a helper, okay? He's not saying that that's what they're going to do, or that's what the whole purpose of what it is. See, your actions might be the only sermon somebody will ever hear. Your actions will be the only sermon that somebody will ever hear, because they would, for whatever reason, whatever bad relationship, whatever they saw on TV in the news, they're like, I'm never going to go to a church. I'm never going to darken the doorstep. It's not going to happen. They're not even going to see my shadow there because of blah, 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 whatever the reason is. And there's a ton of them out there, and some of them pretty justified. I don't blame them in some ways for that. But when you are in the public and you do good works, you're working it, that's the only sermon sometimes they get to see that reveals Christ to them. His opportunity to show the reason why you follow Jesus or take Jesus seriously. And Jesus is so amazing that he not only saved you, he was equipped to save you, but he has equipped you with the works to have the opportunity to save someone else. That is a powerful, powerful thing in your life. When I was in college, so I went to a college, it's called Southwestern Seminole University. If you didn't catch that, it's SAGU for short, okay? SAGU for short. That's where I went to college. It's a Bible college, and I got a degree in ministry, church ministry, so I learned about inner working in the church and cool and stuff like that. And so I had specialization in youth. If you know that, I was actually a youth pastor before I did this, and youth ministry was awesome, by the way. The parents were terrible, okay? That was the hard part, because when you told their kid no, the kid was like, oh, okay. Then you got the parent coming after you, like, don't tell my, I'm not going to get too into that, guys. That's a whole sermon in itself. So I had this college assignment. The whole reason I brought this up, I had a college assignment from our youth prof, and he said, okay, this is one of your assignments. It's not, no paper is involved. It's going to take some action. It's going to take some work. He says, you have to go out to the general community, not anything associated with the college, and do something nice. Do something good. And I'm not talking about hand a dollar to the homeless man. You need to get, it's not financial. You cannot buy anything for this. You have to do work. You got to be working it, okay? And so we paired us up. We got into groups. It was me and two other guys. And we're like, all right, let's go. I don't know what to do, but we're going to go out there and we're going to try to figure something out. And as you can imagine, college students, they don't want to do stuff that's hard labor, typically. They're like, I came to thump the Bible, dump the book, so I don't have to go outside and do manual labor, and so they don't want to do that stuff, okay? I'm sorry if I'm hurting some of your feelings, but it's true, okay? It's true. And so the two guys that I was with is like, all right, let's go out. Let's just walk the streets and let's see what there is. And so we're walking these streets, and it's probably a couple blocks down from the university. And because the university was in the middle, it's the middle of a neighborhood. Not was, it still is. It's in the middle of a neighborhood. And we walk out, and I see this lady, right? This single lady, and she's out raking leaves, right? Out in her front yard. And I'm like, perfect. Perfect. I can envision it. I can do this. Let's go after it. And the guys agreed. And so we go up and we're talking and say, hey, can we help you? And she's like, help me with what? And I said, well, we're from the university, and apparently she probably had some bad dealings with some of the kids from the university, and so she wasn't exactly too. She's like, oh, you're one of those. And we're like, sure, and so we said, can we help you? And he's like, well, how much do you charge? And I'm like, no charge, free. We just want to help. She's like, why? And I said, well, we just want to be nice. We want to come. You're out here raking. We just want to help. It took a while to convince her, okay? Finally, we convinced her, and she's like, okay, if you want to help, is there a limit? Is there a time limit? And she's like, no, all day. All day. We're here for you. We're here for you. And this is like at, I don't know, it's like after classes. It was like 1 in the afternoon. And up there, it was cool. It wasn't hot or anything like that. So we're like, let's do this. And as it leaves, you see it fall. And so she's like, all right, follow me. So we walk around her tiny house. It's probably like a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house to this massive backyard full of leaves. The most leaves I've ever seen in my life, just short of going to a national forest, okay? And she goes, yeah, here's some rakes. Here's some bags. Get it in piles, and let's do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm kind of a go big, go home kind of guy. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. I'm getting pumped. I'm getting my jams, getting my headphones out, getting my jams going. And I'm like, let's do this. And so we start doing it. We start raking. Man, it's like it was never going to end. It was never going to end. And she was watching us, and I knew that she was watching, waiting to see what's their limit. How far are they going to go, right? So it ended up getting dark, okay? And we've gotten halfway through these leaves. And I was like, it's late, and, we probably got to get going. And the two guys that were with me were like, oh, thank God. And so I tell her, hey, it was awesome. I'm glad we could help. And she's like, oh, okay. And she's like, thank you guys, for whatever you did. And I was like, oh, we're not done. And my friends, I could just feel the heat. The heat coming off of the laser beam eyes staring at me. It's like, shut up, man. I was like, no, we're not done here. We're going to come back. And I don't know what, it must have been the Lord, because they just like took his hand at me and started talking for me. Because I was like, what am I saying? And so we ended up going back the next day, and we helped her finish, right? And by the end of it, she was like, guys, I'm impressed. I'm impressed by you guys, because I had an immediate thought about you, but you helped me finish. And this was a huge task. Thank you so much. And she was forever touched by that moment because of the good work that we did. And it wasn't because we needed to get accolades. It didn't end up in the SAGU News or the Waxahachie, that's where it's at, in the Waxahachie News. Dallas didn't pick it up. It's not what happened. But God got the glory because she knew who we represented. Our good works got to represent God. So good works, good deeds is really just a megaphone of God's love. It's just a way to project how God has saved you and the awesome things that God does for you. And so if you're not going to be poor in good works because God has richly blessed you with the talents, the abilities, the opportunity to be rich in good works. Jesus' works saved you, and your works have the potential to save others. So the next thing we're going to talk about, this is the second point, the second thing about being rich in good works. Write this down. It says, my good deeds must help others in a way they need it, not in the way I want to give it. Say that again. I'll put it in a different phrase. What you do, your work that you decide to be a blessing to others, it's not in the way that you want to do it. It's in the way that they need it. Okay? And this is a big difference. You see, when somebody has a fire, burns their house down, you can't go to them and say, hey, I'm going to mow your lawn. I'm going to help you out, okay? That doesn't help them, all right? They need mattresses. They need clothes. They need shelter over their head. When you see a family is in need of help, they're sending their kids to school. They can't buy uniforms. You don't say, hey, I got this ratty couch that I don't want anymore. You want that? I'll have it dropped off. It's free. That doesn't help them. When you see a homeless person and you're like, hey, and they're asking for money or for food or what it be, and you say, hey, can I do your taxes for you? Yeah, I think you need some tax help. Would that help you? No, that's not going to help them. They haven't thought about that in a while. What they need is immediate needs. They need things right tangibly there. So it's not about how you want to do it. It's about giving in a way that they need it. In Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. If we're going to be rich in good works like Jesus was truly, truly amazing at this. He was awesome at it. He might have turned water into wine, But he didn't do it to the person that was hungry. He says, oh, here you go, buddy. You know, let that last you. You know, isn't that amazing? No, he gave them food. He gave them opportunity, rest. When Jesus, he might have pulled some coins out of a fish's mouth, and he's done this. He pulled coins out of a fish's mouth. He didn't hand it over to the poor and say, here's 20 bucks. See how far that'll get you. You know, way to go after it. No, that's not what happened. Jesus helped them in a way that they needed, and not when it was just convenient. There's a difference between conveniently helping somebody and helping them in what they truly need. Okay, so here's some examples. During Christmas time, we partner up with the schools because there's families, and there's the school that we were meeting in before is a Title I school. And in a Title I school, money is not everywhere, and a lot of the families can't afford Christmases. And so what we did, we said, hey, tell us what are the families, you know, and what do they want? Ask the kids, like, what do you want for Christmas? And we treated like a whole Santa situation. And so they went, and the teachers asked the kids, and they gave the list back to us, right? So normally what you think would happen and what you've seen happen is that we take those lists and we buy these gifts and we go to their house and we give them, here you go, we've arrived, you're heroes. See, what that situation does is the kids that probably are already resentful but towards their parents that weren't able to provide a Christmas for them, then you get to be the heroes and make them resent their parents even more. But in the reverse, what we did is we gave the school the gifts to give the parents so the parents could be the heroes for their children. That is giving in a way that is needed. We're not trying to divide or make it a placebo of what we're doing. When you go on a mission trip, and you probably can account to this, when you go on a mission trip and you're just regular Joe Schmo American, you're like, hey, let's go to Haiti or whatever, and let's go on a mission trip, let's do some stuff. When you get there, there's probably some rules the missionary has. One of them, if it's in a poor country, they'll say, don't give them money. Okay, don't give them personally, don't hand over money to them. And there's a reason for that, and it's hard not to do that. Because when you end up in the villages that they live in, and you're like, man, a dollar would just go so long here. And so you want to hand over that dollar. But really, and the missionaries know this, what it teaches them is that just to beg for it. And that's how, instead of learning themselves to get a trade and to provide for themselves, you're teaching them that if you just beg, you can have it. And it doesn't prepare and make their future better. And so panhandlers, we kind of talked about the homeless, and we all have done this. We've all thought this. It's a cycle, right? You pull up and you give them some money, and then whatever the money that they get from you, they go and buy the thing that got them in the situation that they're in. You know, and this cycle goes through your head. So then you're like, do I give them money? Do I not? Maybe I should just give it to them anyways. And you give it to them anyways. And then sometimes you're like, no, I'm not going to perpetuate what's in their life. And that's where it ends. That's typically where you start. And so instead of judging them in their moment and deciding that they don't need whatever it is, it's better to give them a leg up than a handout. So you make it a choice that I'm going to get into the mess of whatever it needs to be to help this person. And sometimes sometimes it doesn't work out. They don't want help, and that's okay. That's their choice. But trying to help somebody is better than not trying, because you never know the opportunity that you would have because you are trying, because you're trying to give a leg up. I mean, trying to get a leg up and then rather than a hand out that just keeps continuing their situation. So in Matthew 5:41, it says, "And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles." So what this is talking about is, so in historically, Roman soldiers in this time, they had the legal authority to walk up to a stranger and say, carry my stuff for 1 mile. For 1 mile. They had to carry their armor, their gear, their weapons. They had to carry it 1 mile because they had the legal authority to do so. And what Jesus is saying, it says, because you represent the God who is rich in good works, take it 2 miles. Do something that doesn't make sense, that loves them in a way that doesn't make sense to them. Because you are rich, and favored. And I'll tell you this, a mile to them was 1,000 steps. That was a Roman mile, was 1,000 steps. So carry that stuff 2,000 steps and you'll show who you serve. Because Jesus says, because you serve, you are going to glorify God by doing 2 miles. The extra is for Jesus because you are rich in good works. So what does the extra mile look like for you? It means doing something when it's inconvenient. So a lot of times you'll end up in a situation where, hey, I'll help you, I'll help out. But then all these things in your life just come out of the woodwork, right? All of a sudden this stuff happens and you're like, I don't have the time now. I'll clue you in. Usually when you're truly helping somebody, doing good works, it's always going to be inconvenient, okay? It's always not going to be a convenient situation. It's, oh, that's on my way. You know, that's not going to be what it's going to be. It was not convenient for me to rake up miles of leaves. It wasn't convenient at all. But it was what needed to be done. And because I served, I'm rich in good, rich in good works, to serve a God who is amazing. That's how I showed who he was. It was the megaphone, the opportunity to show his love. So when you're watching somebody's kids because they have a special need in a situation they got to attend to, I mean, you just don't just make sure their kids stay alive. You know, don't just do that. Like, oh, they survived. Okay, now I'm gone. Do the dishes. Clean up the house. Do something special that shows them you are truly loved. I serve a God who's truly loving. When you want to provide somebody a meal when they're sick, don't just go to I'll go to Chick-fil-A and I'll supersize their fries to show them that I love them. No. Buy them a special meal that shows them we care about your situation. We care about who you are. So we're going to do this extra work to show you how much God loves you, appreciates you. Action groups is one of the opportunities that we have this. And action groups, if you don't know what it is, it's like a small group that we pick a nonprofit and we go to them before and say, what do you actually need? Dream big. We go to the group and we say, hey, we're tasked to do this. We have to raise the funds for it. We have to figure out how we're going to make this happen. And then we have to do the work. And this has to happen in about 8 weeks. So you got about 2 to 3 months to make this happen. That is what's going above and beyond, because that is not easy. That is not simple. It takes work in it to make that happen. The extra mile is not to make us look good. It's to make Jesus famous. So the third thing we're going to talk about today, write this down. It says, my good deeds will glorify God through his church. My good deeds, my good works will glorify in the church and through the church. In Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and do good works, not neglecting to meet together, which is what we're doing right now, not neglecting to meet together, as is his habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. But what does that look like? How do we stir one another up? When we come together, we don't come together for no reason. We don't come together just because we like seeing each other's faces, right? You all have great faces. You're all great-looking people. But we don't come together just for that. We come together for a purpose. And that's to stir ourselves up, to connect with one another, to push ourselves to be better Christians, better Christ followers. So when people have like a personal trainer, a lot of people in here work out and you have a personal trainer. Does that personal trainer just kind of chill and hang out while you're doing your thing? No, they're pumping you up. They're saying, push harder, put more weight on, you can do it, just one more. That's what's supposed to happen here in the church. That's when you stir one another up. It's the same here. So we're a community to encourage and challenge each other. We say, that's all you can do? Well, I'm blessed and I have more. Come on, do more with me. Do more works with me. Give to the needy more because you are blessed and you have the abilities. We have more. So let's round up. We have this time that we can spend helping others. So let's round up. Let's give more time. So we stir and we encourage one another. We don't point and tell one another. We lead one another. We say, I'm doing this. Are you going to run with me? Are you going to join together? And that's why we come together and stir one another up. So when do we do this? It's not just about hanging out with your friends. This is done in and through the church. So just like in Hebrews, it says when we meet together, it's not just some habit, it's meant to happen. So when we come together on Sundays, villages, action groups, we stir one another to be better at what we do, to follow the practicings of Jesus. because we are not, Village Heights is not going to be average in doing good works. That is something we set out before we even launched, before we had our first worship song sung in representation of Village Heights. We decided we are not going to be cheap when it comes to good works. We are not going to be poor. We're not going to be average. We're going to be above average. We're going to be rich in doing good works. So in the early church, the New Testament has been defined in this. And it's been defined in it because the early church, the church in general, in my opinion, in the opinion of a lot of people, is the hope of this world, is the most powerful entity this world has ever seen. Because in 2,000 years, it's taken the world by storm. So a group of people coming together and applying the teachings of Jesus, there is no community or place the church cannot be a catalyst for good. There's not a place, there's not a spot, geographical spot on this world that the church can't go to, and I'm talking about a functioning, a healthy, Jesus-driven church, that they can't change the whole landscape of what it is. It's possible, it will happen, and I've seen it happen many times, and we do this because we are part of the church. And so, at a church is a grouping of people. So you have spiritual gifts. I don't know if you know this or not, but you have gifts. If nobody's ever told you, you were born with talents and abilities and skills. And it's not for no reason. You were created for a reason. You were created for a purpose. And those gifts that you had are meant to fulfill things. Meant to fulfill. So we all, like I kind of said this last week, we all have these things that we care about, right? We all have these things that are like just break our heart. And we see it on TV and we give money to it. And these are things that just really just get us. That's on purpose, okay? That's for a reason, because God has given you, he has prepared you before you even knew it to fulfill those works, those needs to help those people. How amazing it is to be a part of God's plan. There's some good work out there. And then when I tell you, if you just come to church, if you just attend, this is just something I just do on Sundays and I don't talk about the rest of the week, I don't have anything to do with it, you are missing out. Okay, you are missing out from what Village Heights, what the church in general has to offer, because you were built to be a part of it. You were built to be an active role to work in the church. There's some good work out there that God has prepared you for that is not being met, not being advanced, because you are not putting yourself forward. So there's some examples I want to give, and I want to brag on some people in this church, and I have not told them that I'm going to do this. So guys, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it anyways. And it's in much love. I love you. So the first people I want to brag on is Joe and Crystal. And Joe and Crystal, they're not boasting people. They don't go around saying, wearing a patch on their sleeve, like, this is the things that I have done. But they have done some amazing things. Okay, action groups, and we brag about action groups, and it wouldn't happen without them. Okay, they have brought it to the new level. Joe's expertise and all the things that he has learned and gathered, I don't start a project for action groups without consulting with Joe, for at least 10 hours, okay? He's like, come to the property. He's probably sick of it. He's like, come to the property with me. Let's look at it. Let's see what they need. Can this really happen, Joe? And he looks at it, and he's like, yeah, we could do this. And Joe's like, anything's possible with the right money and people. and I was like, yeah. And then Crystal is like organizing genius. She has kept us like so focused when it comes to action groups, and there's things that we miss that she says, hey, don't miss this, try this. And they are an amazing couple that has propelled action groups for us so much that in our very first action group, people flew in. We were just a church of like 20 people, and people flew in from all over the country to help us on our long day project, our one day project. We spent there like 16 hours there. They all flew in to be a part of that. Now it's all because of them. That is what good works is. The next people I'm going to brag on, Kristen and Crystal. So Kristen, before the church even started, she was on board with us. She liked us. She's like, you guys are crazy. I love God too. Let's do this, you know. And I was like, awesome. And then Crystal came along with her and she joined. And Kristen and Crystal, they also, again, not boasting people, but a lot of what we do, the events that we have, would not happen without them. Without their hard work of showing up early, in their vocabulary, there's nothing impossible. Like, it's like, we'll make it happen. We'll get it done. Amazing, amazing people. This is one of the notes I put in there. When Kristen, like, way before, you know, when we pack and unpack stuff, and so there's a certain design in what we do, Kristen went on vacation for the first time from Village Heights, and she was so worried about us here, about it going together, she sent us pictures of the box, of what it looks like, what, how you put it all back in, because it's strategic, it's like Tetris. She sent us pictures. Was it Crystal? I don't know. Okay, it was Crystal. I gave Kristen some credit. It was Crystal. Sent us pictures of it. Amazing. That is good works. Another person I'm going to brag on, he's going to hate this, Eric Almanza. Eric, an amazing guy. If you haven't met him, he owns Trendsetters. Awesome guy. And by far, and it's shocking to me, one of the most giving people. And he doesn't boast about it. Any opportunity he has to help somebody, he is on it. On it. A lot of you are here at this church because of him, because he boasts about what we do here. He's our biggest cheerleader out in the community. Anytime we have an event that we're at, he's like, come on, Village Heights, let's go. On the shirts that he sells in his shop, he puts our boost cards on the shirts. And I was like, sure, man, I love it. Go for it, you know. He's always championing us, always, always celebrating, being our biggest cheerleading and working hard. There's not a time that I have called him and he said, I can't do it, sorry. He's like, I will figure out a way. I will be there because it's meant for the kingdom. All these people I have mentioned, they work, they take their talents or skills and they work it in and through and out of the church. And it makes Jesus famous. But that's what representing the church looks like in good works. It doesn't make sense to people. That kind of stuff doesn't make sense because you care too much and they don't understand it. The beauty of it, it's contagious. Because once they taste it, they're like, this is amazing. Where does this come from? And in our mission statement is faith compelling love, love compelling faith. Because of our faith, we do things that don't make sense to this community because we love them in ways that don't make sense. And because of that love, they are compelled to the faith that we have. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's what that looks like. And it's been on the soapbox before. The government is not equipped to love the people as the church is meant to. The church is the hope of the world. It has the only thing that has the amount of love necessary to truly change a nation and to love a people out of poverty, out of whatever situation. They are not. So all the turmoil over the system that we serve and all the people voted in, all this stuff, that would be eradicated if the church would just be the church. Be what it's meant to be good in good works. That way we can achieve the hope that's needed for our world. And the early church was so good at this. Acts 4:33-34, it says, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what was sold. When the church acts this way, there will be no needy among them. When the church sees their riches and resources as opportunities to bless in the name of the God who blessed them, there will be no needy among them. And that's how great and powerful the church can be with the stacks on stacks and what matters most. And this is all possible. This is all possible. And we'll put the slide up. This is all possible when the church is full of people that know, that last slide up, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides, because I have more, I will give more, and do more. Some of you are average in good works. Some of you are below average in good works. Good news, there is hope for you. So how do you begin? Where do you start? How do you begin? How do I bring my talents to the church and work them in and through the church? The first thing you can do, and if you're new and if you have never been to one, come to this intro lunch. That is the first opportunity, first way that you can figure out how do I work my talents in and through the church to show off God, to make Jesus famous. So come to intro lunch, figure out where it is, we'll give you the times. That's the first on-ramp as far as we are we are here, as far as that goes. And the theological challenge I want to remind you is that good works will not save you. Your salvation will be shown in good works. So your evidence of who you are and what you believe will be shown in your good works, because not by your actions, by your faith. And I'll leave you with this challenge, guys. You are rich. You have opportunities. And so because of that, I want you to prove it. Okay? God has richly blessed you, so prove it. And one of the ways you can do that is, yes, doing good works and coming to church, going into lunch. But it's one of the things we talked about today, and that's the kids' meals. This week, I want you to go and get the things that she mentioned. Go get them. Bring them to us. Help us bring it to them, however it may be. This is your first opportunity to be rich in good works. And once you start, the ball starts rolling. And it's awesome. And it's an amazing feeling. So since you're rich, prove it in your good works. Show who God truly is to this world and how amazing Jesus and how amazing the love of Christ is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for blessing us and doing good works for us, for coming to this world and not just showing us how or telling us how it's done, but really doing it, healing those, helping those who are oppressed, and helping people get out of poverty and giving them a leg up than just a handout and teaching us. Thank you so much, first, for doing that for us. Jesus, help us with the opportunities to see those opportunities that we can be able to be that for others. That through your good works, Jesus, that we can help save others in our good works, Lord. And Lord, thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we are not defined by the good works, Lord. That is an outcry. That is a megaphone of your love, that we are saved by grace, regardless of who we are or regardless of what we've done in our past. But because of you, we get to be saved, and we get to show it off in good works in your name. Lord, I pray that you bless Village Heights in our good works as we go forward. Give us opportunities. Shed the light in the areas that we need to help others so that we can help people in what they need and not just what's convenient for us. Jesus, we love you so much. Bless these people as we go. In your name we pray. Amen.